Jacqueline Lee. She's the IT project manager for the State Public Health Laboratory in Kentucky.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jacqueline Lee, and I'm here representing the Bluegrass out of Frankfort, Kentucky. And first of all, I would like to express to, if there's any members of the FIN Conference Committee, that I'm very honored and humbled to have been invited to participate in this panel, as well as Dr. Magnuson. Thank you. My role as the IT project manager, I wear many, many different hats, and I have a quick rundown of some of the duties and responsibilities that I have. I'm the in-house IT manager, which means I coordinate lab IT functions. I coordinate the ELR systems development, request testing, system report validations and implementation. I facilitate meetings with the HIE staff. I think we have a couple of our HIE staff members on site today. I'm a meeting facilitator for the cabinet technical team. That's the Cabinet of Health and Family Services. Disseminating collected data to the development and implementation teams, including the laboratory IT support team, grant monitoring, thanks to our ELC ACA grant funders, that has helped us come a long way with our ELR development. Let's see, I work with our cabinet security attorney, Richard Chapman, and his team for our security reviews and assessments, and making sure that we stay in compliance with the College of Associated Pathologists' robust checklist, which is in itself a very intensive responsibility. We also, thanks to our ELC ACA funding, we have also been able to build our help desk. So I'm responsible for those things. So if you wonder why would you need a project manager with the IT hat at the laboratory, those are just some of the reasons why. And without further ado, I'll go ahead and step through our presentation here. And let's see. Okay, currently the Kentucky State Laboratory processes 3.5 million tests per year. That is newborn screening, clinical chemistry, clinical microbiology, environmental biology, environmental chemistry, plus radiation testing. We also have an electronic ordering and electronic result retrieval system. We actually have two systems. We have a newborn screening system, which is available for the 58 birthing facilities in Kentucky to submit newborn screening data electronically to the state lab. That system is a prize-winning application from the Industry Solutions Award industry from in 2006. That system also allows for vital statistics and hearing data to be submitted to appropriate agencies. Our internal local system is the LabWeb outreach system. It allows public health entities, hospitals, other types of facilities, detention centers, to submit orders electronically to the laboratory, and also those results are available almost immediately. It's really close to real time. So far, let's see, we are sending microbiology reports to the live exchange system. Our exchange system is Kentucky's version of collecting, exchanging, and using clinical data via HL7 standard messaging protocol. Let's see, our newborn screening is in the test mode. We are very, very close. We're right on the cusp of sending our newborn screening data to the exchange. It is in the test system. There are just a couple of items that we're still working with our vendor to rectify, and then we'll be 100% sending newborn data to our live system. We are accredited by a total of about 14 accrediting bodies. That includes environmental and clinical. There's the CAP, the College of Associated Pathologists, as well as the American Industrial Hygiene Association, just to name a few. We also are certified by the State IT Security Inspection Team. Initially, we went through an intensive review of our IT systems at the laboratory, and now we're in the process of refining that review for more intensive IT vulnerability assessment analysis. We've also have been certified by the Homeland Security Risk Assessment Team in Kentucky. And that's basically making sure the laboratory facility is safe, the surrounding environment is safe from any homeland events, homeland security events. So we passed that successfully. And just want to let you know, when we have our auditing accrediting bodies come out, those audits are unannounced. So it's really impressive to be able to say that you're accredited by the College of Associated Pathologists. They give us between 12 and 24 hours letting us know that they're coming on site, and they want to review all aspects of the laboratory, including IT. And this past year, we had our unannounced visit in October, and we resulted in zero errors. So everyone was pretty happy there in Kentucky for that. Let's see. During the development and implementation of our ELR systems, we have learned that the providers and customers need expedient delivery of reports. They need reports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They need access to those patient record reports. They also would like to have convenient access via the internet, and most of all, a rapid exchange of information beyond the provider of record. Kentucky Department for Public Health, the Medicaid agency, and there was one other agency that got together, worked on a write-up to submit to change the law so that a provider beyond the provider of record would have access to a patient record. For instance, if a patient is referred to a specialist, that specialist, as long as they are credentialed, will have the ability to log into the exchange system, whether that be the local ELR system or the Kentucky exchange system, and view a patient's records. Prior to that, that was impossible, and there's a House Bill 518 that made that possible. Our clients and customers would also like real-time reportable disease sharing with public health staff. For instance, the epidemiologists would like access to the system so they can do their work logged into the local ELR system. Electronic surveillance data sharing with the CDC. Thanks to the FLIP on-site technical assistance team, excellent team, came down to Kentucky in September, helped us build the architecture using their protocols to be able to move from paper, email, submitting influenza data to CDC to an electronic system. So we're really thankful for the FLIP team for working with Kentucky on that. We're almost at a paperless laboratory reporting system. As soon as we get that newborn screening moved over to our live exchange system, then we will be considered a paperless laboratory reporting. Our current electronic laboratory reporting exchange status and future enhancements, we're live now with an internet-based order and result retrieval system. That's the two systems that we offer. We also have two vendors. One vendor takes care of everything on the microbiology side. Our other vendor takes care of everything on the newborn screening side. So on the newborn screening side, again, we're just really close to fixing a couple of little bugs there, specifically with our attention text. Once we get that fine-tuned, then we'll be ready to move that over. We're live with our microbiology reports. They are currently in the Kentucky's exchange, and we're live again with our e-surveillance using FLIP protocol to the CDC. Let's see, and some of the technical aspects, and these are all the aspects from our vendor, because our vendors handle all of the messaging that's sent through the system and pushed on to the exchange. Their code standard, secure file transmission, data process, quality control, message translation, everything is computable. The vendor uses state-of-the-art firewall appliances. HL7 coding and transmission is utilized. Double security system sign-on, so a user has to sign on through two systems to be able to get access to patient information. High bandwidth throughput is used, that is recorded and measured and available to the state lab upon request. And these standards have been tried and tested, and we have evidence to support that our vendors are meeting these requirements, and that, again, is also based on the CAP-IT Performance Improvement Monitoring Checklist. If any of you have never seen that checklist, it is a very robust, very intensive CAP checklist that we use, and it really helps you to make sure that you have crossed all of your T's and dotted all of your I's. Let's Some of the real-world ELR challenges are the variability in messages and vendor interfaces. We received guidance from the National Library of Medicine for some of our newborn screening testing codes. There were a few codes that we didn't have an exact quite fit for as we were doing our LOINC mapping. And working with the National Library of Medicine, we were able to receive matches for some of the hemoglobinopathy disorders. So we were able to close that out, and that is now being published by the National Library of Medicine. We use RELMA, which is provided by Regan Street for our LOINC standardization. And if anyone is not aware, the LOINC Institute or the Regan Street Institute does offer two free sessions, and I think we have one of the excellent teachers here out in the audience. I attended the June class, and it was really helpful. Although I didn't do myself the exact LOINC mapping, I worked with the scientists as they map the local codes to LOINC. So it was interesting to go and see the specifics of how the LOINC database or the RELMA database is put together. Data encoding variability, the expertise of our vendors. Again, we mapped all of our local codes to the LOINC codes and SNOMED in some cases, and we pushed that information to our vendors, and they built that up into the HL7 message. Let's see, our biggest challenge for our labs, again, was according to previous law, providing lab reports to providers that were not the submitter of record. Outcome, state lab customers and other agencies and providers have access to patient report information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week via the internet, and that's either via the local electronic lab reporting system or the Kentucky Health Information Exchange, which is reporting microbiology. We're live with microbiology as of today, as of August actually. We have an established help desk. Due to our grant funding, we were able to augment the existing shop, which is basically a data entry shop. Now they are trained to answer electronic lab reporting technical questions, able to assist customers, able to reset passwords. And we also have a scientific vocabulary specialist residing in the help desk so that he's able to answer some of the scientific diagnostic questions that might come through. And we were able to fund two of the staff members in the help desk via grant. Again, our CAP audit resulted in zero IT errors last year, and we are now submitting influenza surveillance data to the CDC electronically using secure standardized FLIP protocols. And the state lab electronic laboratory reporting system positions the state lab to enter the exchange because we have the HL7 messaging in place, and that is the international standard for exchange of electronic healthcare information. And if anyone is not familiar with an HL7 message, it consists of you have your OBR, which is your test. Your test name, you have segments or fields within that message, you have fields and subfields which contain the clinical data, and then you have your ORU which is in response to that order or the result. So, and again, actually the FLIP team was excellent in helping us map some of the tuberculosis tests. SNOMED. If there was not a LOINC code available, they were able to help us with their expertise on using a SNOMED code for that. So the FLIP team was really, really an excellent resource for us down in Kentucky. Our vendor interface was developed by both of our vendors for newborn screening and the microbiology side. But on the microbiology side, those results are being sent from the local electronic lab reporting system to the exchange. And again, we went live with the microbiology August of 2011, and we've sent approximately 10,000 reports. Now, keep in mind, prior to going live, we went through an extensive testing phase. We have validated a total of over 2,000 reports. Those reports are on the microbiology side and on the newborn screening side. Even though we're only pushing newborn screening data to the test environment, the scientific staff, myself, Dr. Stephanie Mayfield Gibson, who was the laboratory director. We printed out hard copies of the local system report and matched that to the exchange report and went line by line to make sure every demographic field, every field of those reports matched and was delivering the information that was being pushed from the laboratory. So that's real important, because validating, you do find things that are not completely pushed, not pushed the exact way, or not concise enough according to the CAP audit checklist on how a third-party reporting system should report those results. So we were able to implement those fixes prior to going live, and it's a very intensive validation process, but it is well worth it. Again, our newborn screening is very, very close to implementation, so we expect to implement newborn screening in the live system by fourth quarter of this year. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we are helping Kentucky meet the meaningful use core objectives, and I just have a brief synopsis of some of the meaningful use objectives. I will incorporate clinical lab tests result into a certified EHR technology as structured data. We have enabled providers to view their reports in a structured English format. There's not coded data that's not understandable by a non-technical person, so they're able to see their reports via a style sheet, which is a basic report identifying the patient information, laboratory information, and clinical and diagnostic information. Another objective is the capability to exchange key clinical information. We are doing that. True exchange is being able to provide that information to the clinician. Clinicians are credentialed to be able to access the system, provide patients with timely electronic access to their health information. Approximately 4 minutes after a result has been validated from the local exchange system, the information is pushed through the interface to the exchange, the Kentucky Exchange. So it's almost immediate. And demographic data is also in a structured language, so it's very easy to read. But the protection of electronic health information is in place. Again, we've gone through an extensive review with our cabinet chief of staff for security and his team, and we're in the process of developing a more robust, refined vulnerability assessment analysis. And the capability to submit electronic syndromic surveillance data to public health agencies, and the submission according to applicable law and practice. This is a little bit outside of the domain of the laboratory, however, it is in test. So this process is currently being tested to submit to accept syndromic data from public health agencies and pushed on to public health other public health agencies. And quickly, I would just like to do some acknowledgments, because it was a collaboration from a lot of our internal partners within the state, as well as some external partners. We have our head of IT department, Ms. Kathy Fry, and her entire KHE team, including Sandeep Kapoor and Brendan O'Banion. Other partners are the commissioner for the Department for Public Health, who's recently retired, and he's actually doing a presentation in another venue at this moment. Dr. Hacker, our acting commissioner, Dr. Steve Davis, very supportive of everything that the laboratory needs to help make electronic lab reporting a success. The Association for Public Health Laboratories, the FLIP on-site technical team, again, that team was excellent. Their knowledge and expertise and the time they took to help us submit that surveillance data to the CDC is invaluable. Dr. Mayfield and I have just been asked to participate as FLIP steering committee members. We joined our first meeting last week, so this will be a very interesting journey. The National Library of Medicine, our CDC and grant holders, the CAP organization, and our vendors, and the Penn Conference committee. And I believe that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Does anybody have questions for Jacqueline right now?
I can talk real loud.
Well, we need to. Wait. We
We have to get it for our remote people.
Welcome to our virtual conference participants. Jacqueline, a lot of the people in this audience are really interested in how we get reportable lab tests from a laboratory into, say, epidemiologists' hands who have to respond to those. And it sounds like the thrust of your presentation was this brilliant process by which your public health lab exposes all of its data in a very standards-compliant way to your health information exchange. Could you share with us right now, how does Kentucky Public Health Lab, let's say your lab identifies a case of tuberculosis, how does your epidemiology staff learn about that? How do you get it from your lab to your epidemiology staff?
Our epidemiologists are credentialed for the local system, so they can log in and do their daily reports, and they can specifically search for any reportable disease and collect that data. So they're credentialed to access the system.
And they view it there. Does the data move physically from the health information exchange over to, say, a public health system like a NEDS system where they do business with it there?
There's also a process in place where filter reportable diseases. There's about 8 of the reportable diseases that are filtered from and pushed to the NEDS system. And that's, I believe, using the Rhapsody. The technical people are not in here, but I believe that's using the Rhapsody technology, and that's how it's collecting some of the reportable disease. But for some of the other reportable diseases, the epidemiologists are credentialed to log into the outreach system, which is the local system, and receive that reportable disease information. Once there's another piece part of surveillance, that information will be collected from other public agencies and pushed onto other public agencies, and that will be a side of, I guess you could say, a side filter or a side component or feature of the exchange.
Here, your IT consultants worked out a filtering process then where they identify reportable lab tests in the data posted to the HIE and pull that off in an HL7 format and message it over to your NEDS people?
Yes, yes.
Do they hit against your Loenken SNOMED codes? Or?
Yes, they do. I believe they're using the Loenken SNOMED, and I wish they were here because they can talk in more intelligently about the specific process of what they use to filter. I'm not sure. I believe it's the Loenken SNOMED, but it can also be the local clinical term, the clinical name for the disease. Did that make sense? Okay.
Did I correctly understand you that your lab has direct communication between your lab system and the submitters, okay,
yes,
as your customers?
Yes.
But at the same time, you're also a provider to the HIE.
That's correct.
And your customers can also access the same data through the HIE.
That's correct.
And you're physically, as physical as it gets
virtually,
with electronic data,
yes,
you're actually moving data from,
yes,
your database into their,
that's
database.
That's correct. The public health departments, hospitals, and some of the detention centers, as long as they're credentialed, we don't specify who can access the data. They have to be credentialed and approved. And once we receive their credential forms, the director, myself, and a couple of the scientists, we go through those credential forms and we call back to the facility to make sure this person is legitimate and has the need to have access to patient information.
Right, well, that wasn't the direction I was going.
Oh,
I was going more nerdy, actually.
So
as some of these tests, you're probably like the monopoly provider. You're the only one in the state who does a certain number of these tests, right?
For state public health tests, there are some tests that may go through another.
Yeah, there's other tests that go through other labs, mm-hmm, but for maybe the newborn screening, for example, you might be the one who all of those.
Yes.
So did you give any thought to an architecture where it would be either like a federated query between you and the HIE, where the HIE would forward requests to you to run against your system so that you didn't have to do the actual data exchange between the two?
I'm not sure. I don't have a response to that. We don't have our technical HIE folks here. But if I'm following you, currently we're just pushing the information to the exchange. We're not doing inbound exchange ordering at this time. That's the next phase.
Well, I wanted to thank Jacqueline for putting in a plug for the RELMA tutorial that's put on by the Reagan Streiff Institute. Just for people who don't know about it, it's held twice a year. The next one will be on December 7th in Indianapolis. At the Reagan Streiff Institute. It is free of charge, and all you got to do is just get there some way. Also, if you're not interested in going there in person, the tutorials are recorded and put up on the LOINC website. So if you just go to loinc.org, you can find out all the information about the next meeting, the next tutorial, as well as view some of the other tutorials. But I have to tell you that they're out of date about 2 weeks after they're put on, because continual updates to the RELMA mapping tool are made, and advancements are always made for each tutorial. So just a plug for the tutorial.
It's an excellent opportunity to learn more about LOINC mapping.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Jacqueline right now? No? Jacqueline, I was going through your slides because I had a question. I was going to get back to something and ask you.
Sure. Okay.
So it was this slide that the biggest challenge for our labs, according to previous law, is providing lab reports to providers that are not the submitter of record. This went over my head. Can
okay.
you explain that a little?
Before the law was changed, the ability to share a patient's lab reports was not possible. We were not able to pass that data to another provider. They would have to call the, here's an example. I go to a physician and they refer me to a specialist. Prior to the law being changed in Kentucky, there was a process to get my report to that specialist, whether it be U.S. mail or delivery service. Now that the law has changed, thanks to Department for Public Health and the Medicaid agency, a provider can refer a patient to a specialist, and that specialist, as long as they're credentialed, can log into the local system and the exchange system and retrieve a patient's file, a patient's record. And that was a big issue as we were developing the exchange.
Thank you.
You're welcome.